On tonight's show, we've got a mid-season report for women's and men's basketball, Thomas.
I'm so excited about it. We've also got another professional football league. Ooh. I'm in the killing mood. How are you feeling?
Oh, no, not already.
Let's do it.
All right, and we've got a Sun Belt softball update that has a lot of people fired up.
Oh, they do.
For a lot of different reasons.
It do.
We're going to get into it. Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slides, snow cones, truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into another exciting episode of the Bench Boys podcast. If you're listening to this, if you listen to last week's episode, we probably sound a scotch better.
Just a little bit.
Not as echoey. Hey, we tried something. It worked. But the problem is we don't have like an amazing sound booth that we're in right now.
Yeah, like we're
basically
in
what it is.
We're in a room. We're like just in a room.
Yeah, we don't have studio, you know. 6B. Like
yeah, we got evicted.
Yeah, we got evicted. Welcome into the show. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And we're the Bench Boys. Thanks for coming in and thanks for listening. Yeah. If you are here
make yourself at home.
Hit that subscribe button.
We got Coke.
I drink water.
Okay, we got that too.
I'm fat, so.
Well, I am, but I drink Coke anyway.
Oh, there you go. It's a life preference, isn't it?
It is. It really is. We are on social media
anywhere.
At the OG Bench Boys for all of our Coke and water discussions and all the best Sun Belt takes. Because
All the best.
We know the Sun Belt better than anybody else.
Better than anyone else.
Period. Like, period.
Let that be known.
Yeah, there's no discussion.
And we're about to break some things down that not a lot of people in the Sun Belt do know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm about to blow your mind with a bunch of stats.
Let's do it. I love stats.
Out of the gate.
That's right. We're talking basketball. And before we get into the Sun Belt basketball, obviously, it is the week of January, 29th, basically, 27th?
Yeah, it's the last week of January,
something like that. Well, Sunday was one of those days that in the sporting world will be remembered for probably one of the most tragic days, I think, in sports.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
You lose an icon, and of course we're talking about Kobe Bryant, and you lose an icon like him. And most of the time when you lose icons, you think, okay, they're at the end of their life. He was 41. I mean, that today, even waking up, like, I'm not a huge NBA fan.
No.
But today waking up and just seeing all the stuff and then still reminding, like, you know, it reminding me thinking Kobe Bryant is dead. Like, that doesn't compute.
No.
All of you guys on your social media have seen plenty about Kobe Bryant, like, just the shock.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ever a huge Kobe Bryant fan. I mean, even when he was playing, I don't know why. I never really liked the Lakers for one thing. I think that was the reason.
That's a big part of it too. I don't think I was a big fan.
Just
of the
an NBA
Lakers.
Fan?
Me neither. I wasn't really big on it. I really wasn't big on basketball growing up, even though I played it at church. You know.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. I'm gonna remember where I was. I remember exactly where I was when I learned the news.
Yeah.
It's gonna be one of those days. It kind of stands out. It's like the Marshall plane crash.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Do you remember where you were when Michael Jackson died?
No.
See, I do.
But I remember seeing all of the coverage of it.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Jackson's was obviously different, obviously,
right.
Entertainment. But that's who, like, you just... he's one of those people, like you were kind of saying, you just remember where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, it just... I don't know. And to me, it was really interesting. I saw a lot of things... when it first came out, was no one really knew if he was on the helicopter. And the biggest thing, I know we're getting off a little bit off topic here, but I think it's something that needs to be talked about, is the fact of how social media plays into events like this now compared to what social media played 10 years ago. So Michael Jackson died, what, in 2008, right around there. That was kind of the just the infancy of social media. Facebook was around. Twitter was sort of getting off its feet. But the difference in the information, I guess, download to people was so much different in 2008 than now. I mean, you had within hours, hell, within an hour and a half or 2 hours of it first being reported, you had so much stuff being said that the owner of the team was on the helicopter. All four of his daughters were on the helicopter.
Rick Fox was on the helicopter.
Yeah, Rick Fox was on the helicopter. I mean, just you had all this crazy stuff, and I think it really showed. I don't think social media has gotten any better. That's my view. And I think that is the fundamental problem of Twitter and Facebook, is they don't know how to disseminate the information. When something like that happens and you see that it is about to erupt and it's going to be this fire, there's got to be a way to make it where, I guess, certified or credentialed news sources are the ones that people are, that's the information you're sharing, not some random Joe Blow who said, "Hey, I heard this," and it gets 10,000 retweets.
I'm gonna find myself on the other side of the conversation with you. My argument is the way that I handled it. I found blue check mark accounts.
Yeah, verify.
I found local sports people who work in LA. Mm-hmm. I looked for the Waj. I looked for Adrian Wojnarowski, mm-hmm. or however you pronounce his name. I probably killed that. But
just say Woj bombs.
Woj bombs. There was one. He confirmed mm-hmm. it just as much as anybody else did.
Yeah.
But it's on the user to find that and to spread the accurate information. That's what I tried to do, is be a steward of the right information there and spread out and say, this is true because this guy is official. He's a local LA guy. He knows his sports stuff. This guy is official. This is why I believe this.
Yeah.
And my argument to you is that there is a way. People just, users and social media users, have to be more active about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a couple of factors that are going to go into this being a different event on social media, a different historical event playing out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for the first time, there are a ton of factors, is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant was 41.
Mm-hmm.
He is a young man compared mm-hmm. to a lot of the NBA legends that are out there.
If you would have said, I just want to jump in on this. If you would have said 20 years ago when Kobe Bryant came into the league that he would outlive Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson would outlive him.
Yeah, but Magic Johnson would outlive Kobe Bryant. Would you have believed anything?
And I literally said that on Sunday.
Yeah.
In my state of shock.
Okay.
I think that his age, he was very young.
Yeah.
He had more of an influence on people who use Twitter
mm-hmm.
than just about. I think LeBron might be the only other player, the only other sports icon to have as much of an impact on the users of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably a football, but when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, I would say basketball for sure.
Kobe Bryant is top three, having the most impact on people who use Twitter. The most notable players.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a ton of users on Twitter that pay attention and know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, it's on the users to disseminate the accurate information. So all these factors come together and create the situation that you see as negative. I don't think it's necessarily that... I don't think it's necessarily there's a problem with social media.
Mm.
I think that's just the nature of the beast and
the
way it played out.
It is. You would think, though, I mean, Twitter and Facebook have been around for over a decade now. And you would think that they would, I know it's not a one solution problem. It's a big problem. But you would, there's got to be a way that you don't have. I mean, there were literally tweets from people who didn't have that blue check mark that I saw within an hour. It was false information and it had 4,500 to 5,000 retweets on it. And it was completely false. Like, it wasn't true. And that's the type of stuff. But people, they aren't like you and me that have been in journalism that know how to your sources are important. They don't care. They see it. It's got a couple thousand retweets on it. Oh, it must be true. Boom. Let me share it too. Like that. That's what the I feel like the normal social media user, when you're not in the journalism field, looks at.
I can see what you're saying, because in this instance, the lack of discernment's the best word to use there. The lack of discernment is enhanced by the fact that this is such a big event.
Yeah.
Kobe is such a big figure mm-hmm. in his sport and in the world, and everything's happening in real time yeah. as it happens. So
I was looking at the Twitter. LeBron James has 44 million followers. Kobe has 15.4. So there's a big...
There's a huge gap. There's a noticeable gap,
but still 15.4 million followers. Dude, if I got ever to a million followers... incredible.
I would literally take about 5% of that and be happy.
I'm trying to find Steph Curry here real quick. I don't even know.
I'm betting he's in the 30s.
I don't even know what his handle is.
I don't know if he's on Twitter. I know he's on Instagram. I'm sure Instagram was alight with all that stuff.
Yeah. I know we've gone off the point, but
yeah, we spent about 10 minutes on Kobe now.
I mean, it's just been an incredible, like, you don't think of him as being a guy that's out. I mean, I know. Let me do it justice here. There were 9 other people on that flight. Like, and there was actually a legendary junior college baseball coach that was on that flight or on the helicopter, and who played at Oregon. I mean, this guy. I mean, he was a stud at Oregon. I think he was in the MLB for a couple of years, and now he's a coach at a junior college. And when you think of junior college baseball, I mean, like Northwest Florida State around here, they're like really good. It was Orange County Community College, I think. They're like really solid. I mean, they're like a feeder into all of basically the California schools. So he was a well-known college coach, and he kind of gets it, it. I feel like it kind of sucks for them because this incident isn't going to be remembered for him. I mean, yes, the families are, but it sucked that it's such a well-known event that happened, and they're going to remember it for Kobe, not for the 7 or 8 other people that were on this flight. But no, just back to Kobe, I think, in the impact, I think sport world impact. I mean, there was people that didn't follow NBA, but followed him as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, as a father, and just the impact that he's had all over on social media. I mean, I saw a bunch of college coaches that were dads, that the whole girl dad, you know, the hashtag girl dad thing. I mean, just that's kind of the cool part, I will say. I don't want to bash social media because I'm not some boomer, you know, like that. But like,
okay.
It's
a joke.
So I know. But it's an incredible event that happened. And just by listening to, you know, there's been a lot of like good talks about it. I mean, Shaq had a really, I don't know if you saw the video that Shaq had. Shaq took about 6 minutes. He even talked about it. He's like, dude, me and Kobe, we are a hard-minded type of person that will work together. But like, that was just our relationship. He goes, and he even said me and Charles Barkley, they have their show on TNT together and everything. And he goes, we're alike. Like, we will talk shit to each other, but at the end of the day, we respect each other no matter what. And so, yes, our friendship might not have been the best, but like, I still won 6 NBA championships with him, like, or whatever it was. So it's just, I don't know. It was pretty amazing. And then just to see it trickle down into places where he didn't even like, we've never obviously met him, but like, still, I mean, like, it took, I mean, it was sad, like, waking up Monday morning. Like, it was, I mean, just knowing that guy, I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer this year. Like, I mean, this is his year, and he's not going to be there. You see all the stuff that NBA players, college players, high school players, I mean, they're all taking 24-second shot clock violations. You know, in high school, obviously, in some states, they don't have a shot clock. So there were teams that literally did backcourt violations for him, like 8 seconds or whatever it is. So, but just the, like, wave of the trickle-down effect of all the people that he's affected is incredible to me. For a guy who his entire career basically was in the West Coast, and you have people in Alabama that were affected by it, I mean, just and show their admiration for this guy, I think is impressive. But, I mean, obviously a sad day for the sporting world, just it will definitely. I don't think anybody will ever forget this day. I think the big day though will be August 24th, which is 8/24.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about that.
I think that day is going to be no doubt in Los Angeles probably be Kobe Bryant Day.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of stuff that happened that day, but I don't know. It's just gone way too soon in a crazy freak accident. Like crazy, crazy freak accident. The craziest thing, this is how in this, me and Emily, so we were actually up in Tennessee over this weekend, and the night before, Emily got an update that said Kobe Bryant passed. And that was like what it showed up on her screen. You had to click on it to read the best. Well, she goes, Kobe Bryant died. Like literally Saturday night. And I'm like, holy crap, Kobe Bryant died? And like, and she goes, yeah. I'm like, oh no, babe. It says Kobe Bryant passed by LeBron James. Not passed away. Like she legit, like for a minute, I had to go Google.
Okay, hang on.
The next morning, it happened. And I'm like, ah! Like, oh my, like that was just that was a freaky coincidence. But still, I was like, oh, I'm not saying my babe might have my wife had might have like the kiss of death or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's just
no, the crazy is some the wild. Crazier coincidence is that LeBron had literally passed him in
the
night before.
No, so. Just wild. I mean, just the things and now you kind of wonder like, you know, like the whole rule of threes. You kind of wonder, like, anything else going to happen, but we'll see. So
I'm not superstitious.
You're just a little superstitious?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Michael.
Anyway.
But, yeah, that's what we have to talk about Kobe. But let's get into some Sun Belt basketball. Obviously, before we get it, RIP Kobe. Sun Belt basketball. We're in the middle of a pretty exciting season so far right now. We've got – there's really nobody that is – a dead set. Yep, they got it. They're gonna win. It's over. Write the script now.
I mean, but
I wouldn't say that. So we're gonna start on the women's side because you know we're gentlemen.
Let's start with women because I think that's the biggest best case.
Okay.
To say maybe we do have somebody.
Well, you know, normally we do this fast and we give you guys, you know. The seedings. Well, tonight I decided to go a little bit more in depth because I think these two sports deserve it. They are the main sports right now. We're getting into almost February. We're getting close to March Madness, which I think is probably close to one of the greatest sporting events of the year, if not the greatest sporting event of the year. So we're getting really close to that. So we're going to start women's Sun Belt. First, we're just going to start scoring leaders. That's what I'm going to start with. I'm not going to tell you Who's best team in the Sun Belt right now. We're just going to start scoring leaders. We've got Marie Benson, DJ Williams, and Myra Collier, who are the leaders right now in scoring. Marie Benson has 17.2 points, and I'm trying to figure out. Let me scroll. Individuals. Okay, yeah, Marie Benson averages 17.2 points a game. She's out of UTA. DJ Williams, 16.5 out of Coastal, and Kyra Collier, Little Rock. So I want you to remember that. UTA, Coastal, and Little Rock.
Little Rock has the number three scorer in the conference?
Yes, Little Rock.
Okay.
Those really focus on the teams. UTA, Coastal, and Little Rock.
Okay.
Troy, who leads the entire conference in scoring at 79.9 points a game, does not have a scorer in the top 10.
Well...
and they lead the conference in scoring.
Okay.
That is a team effort right there.
I'm absolutely.
Their leading scorer is Jasmine Robinson, and she averages only 12 points a game. And this is a team that averages almost 80 a game.
Where is she on that list?
She is number 12 on the list with 12.8 points a game.
Okay.
Jabonica James, 12.3 points a game. And then you got to go all the way down to 28, and that's Kayla Robinson, who averages 9.5 a game.
So Troy has three players in the top 30 in the conference.
Yes.
And yet...
yes.
Troy leads the conference in scoring.
Yes. Coastal has two in the top four. So there you go.
Well, Coastal has arguably the best record.
I'll get to Coastal here in a second. So team scoring, Troy leads 79.9, Coastal 75.5. So... two teams in the 70s, and then it drops. Everybody else, there was only two teams that averaged more than 70 points a game. That's Troy and Coastal. The third, take a guess who it would be.
UTA.
Nope. South Alabama.
Okay.
68.7 points. There is a full, between Troy and, between the number one and number two, number three teams, there's a full 11-point difference between one and three in points scored a game. Coastal is in between, obviously, there with 75. But here's the interesting part. The defense. We've talked about UTA's defense. We've talked about Troy's defense.
Yeah.
Guess what? Coastal has the best defense in the conference.
Well, yeah, they've only lost three games.
They've only lost three games, but they're only giving up 57.7 points a game.
Okay.
Which is solid. UTA, 60.2. Louisiana actually comes in at number three, giving up 62 points a game. So you got to wonder, I'm trying to find Troy here, their defense.
They can't be too far behind, though.
Troy is number seven.
Troy is number seven in the conference.
Yes.
Literally.
Sitting at 66.7. So they're almost a full 10 points.
Worse than half.
Yeah. Georgia Southern ahead of them, Little Rock, and Texas State, who they've all beaten, by the way.
You know what? I think I have a theory, and
So we'll get into scoring and defense. We've talked about those three. The scoring margin is the thing that we're looking at here.
Okay.
Coastal has a 17.8 there, plus 17.8 scoring margin. Troy has a plus 13.3 scoring margin. Those are the top two. The only two teams in the conference that have a double-digit scoring margin. Both teams are sitting at what? 15-3, 16-3. The next highest, University of Texas Arlington, sitting at 5.4. So the margin for error, once you get past Coastal and Troy, drops significantly with all these two teams. Now, this was the most interesting stat that I found so far. We've talked about Troy. We've talked about Coastal. We've talked about UTA, how great they are. They all have great records. They're all, what, 1, 2, and 3, basically, in the conference. I think Coastal is maybe 4.
5.
5, actually. That's 5 and 2. So here's the interesting thing. I looked at worst field goal percentages offensively in the conference.
Okay.
The bottom three teams are App State, ULM, and Texas State.
Makes sense.
Where's Georgia State sitting at?
We have 12 teams.
Yep.
So they're number nine.
They're sitting at tied for ninth as well.
Or no, tied for 10. Yeah.
Tied for 10.
No, nine.
Nine.
I can't count.
We can't count. It's okay. Georgia State, App State, ULM, Texas State. The worst field goal percentages, App State has the worst.
Yes.
So that's explainable.
They're tied for nine.
0.359. So 35% field goal percentage, basically.
36, yeah.
Georgia State, who's also tied with App State, has a 36% field goal percentage at 0.361.
Okay.
And then the third worst field goal percentage in the entire conference is your conference leader.
Troy.
Troy. With a 0.363 field goal percentage.
Hold up.
Barely over 36%.
I think I know where this is going. I know where this is going.
I think you might be picking up on it. Now, here's the interesting thing. Field goal defense. So how well you play defense, how well you don't allow teams to score on their percentage of shots. Coastal leads, that's explainable, with giving up 34% shooting. UTA, explainable, 36%. And then Troy and UTA are both tied for second. Giving up just over 36% field goal percentage for other teams. That's their defense. Now, Troy has one of the worst field goal percentages offensively in the conference. But you want to know what they just destroy people at?
Rebounds.
On the frickin' boards.
Yep.
Troy averages 55 rebounds a game, which is first by a mile in the conference, I can tell you that. Coastal, 42. Georgia Southern, 41. Troy has a 15.5 rebound margin of how many rebounds they give up a game to how many rebounds they give. So they only give up 40 a game, and they get 55. So they might be missing shots, but let me tell you something.
I'm going to hijack this real quick.
They get the rebounds. Because I know what you're about to lead into.
Yeah, you know what I'm leading into. So we talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. Troy and UTA were number one and I think number two at the time.
There you go.
And we said this was going to be a game to watch. This was going to set the tone. And it was. Troy goes out on a 17-point run to start the game, and they end up winning by 16. But you know how they did it?
What'd they do it?
Rebounds off the boards. 26 second-chance points versus 2 for UTA.
Cleaning the boards.
Absolutely.
Cleaning them.
Troy went 23 of 35. Excuse me. No, they went 23 offensive and 35 defensive rebounds. Troy had almost as many offensive rebounds as UTA did defensive rebounds.
Total. Right.
They had more defensive rebounds than UTA did total.
There you go.
5 and 26 versus 23 and 35. Uh-huh. Troy got the ball back. Troy had two players with double digits in rebounds. Rebounding. UTA, the most a single player had was 5.
Mm-hmm. They clean the boards. They don't let you hit the board.
Like if you miss your shot, they are going to get it.
The really interesting thing. One last thing before I get into this my little anecdote, I guess, about this. Troy leads right now conference 7-1, ULL 6-2, UTA 6-2, Little Rock 6-2. Three teams tied for second.
Right there within
Coastal
one game.
Coastal right behind them at 5-2. Seven teams over 500 in conference play. Five teams under 500 in conference play. Overall, a little bit different. You probably got, four teams at over 500 and one team at 500. Everybody else is below 500. But in conference, there's a lot going on there in that second place. Heck, one through four, there's barely any margin for error right there. But the thing with Troy this year that I've really noticed is Troy has averaged, I think, 80, 85 points a game since Shonda got there. This year, their scoring average has dropped a little bit, but look at the way their defense has played compared to any of the years last year. And the rebounding has always been there, but they have really good size down low. I mean, Japonica James, and then they have Rogers. Those two alone are incredible down low. I mean, the low post that they can do. That Troy can play. And that's one of the reasons. That's what's been really shocking is they've been able to rebound, but they've never had tall players or, you know, they've never had great size. They've just out-hustled a lot of people. Now they have size, and they're just manhandling people. That's what they're doing because they finally have size in the middle. And so that's what makes Troy so dangerous this year, I think. And I think people nationally are starting to figure that out because today – Top 25, actually, I guess it was yesterday, but the mid-major top 25 just came out, and something that we said on Saturday after the game ended is this is a top 20 team. Well, we were pretty dang close. They come in ranked
22.
First yeah. time ever in Troy history they were ranked in a mid-major, which is hats off to Shannon Rigby. That's incredible. Sunbelt has two teams actually ranked in the top 25.
Hmm.
Guess who the other one is?
Hmm. UTA?
Nope. Please. Coastal.
That yeah,
okay. Coastal Carolina has a pretty decent non-con. I think that's what's carrying them.
Okay, well they have a good record in non-con, but here's who they played: Arkansas Pine Bluff,
mm-hmm.
UNC Greensboro,
yep,
Wofford,
yep,
Western Carolina,
yep,
Richmond,
yeah,
George Mason,
yep,
UNC Pembroke.
They lost to Richmond, by the way.
They did lose to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
UNC Pembroke, UNC mm-hmm. Wilmington, Wesleyan College, uh-huh. Elon, and South Carolina State.
Yeah, nobody that really jumps out at you. But for some odd reason, the mid-major likes them for some reason.
Well, it's because they only have one loss in that whole time.
They do.
Their second loss came at Troy in the first game of the conference season.
Mm-hmm. So we have two teams ranked right now. You and me have talked about Troy. Like we both said this could be the year. We talked about it last week. We said that, and then they kind of felt it off. This team just feels a little bit different to me, just the way it's built. It's not so much a... We're just going to try to out-hustle you and outrun you all game long. We aren't going to worry that we're going to give up 85 points a game. Like, we're going to actually play a set defense, and you're going to have to beat us. And I think that's what's attributed to them not averaging the 85 points a game like they were in past, because they aren't giving up 85 points a game as well. You know, it's not just a sprint all game long. And so that's what makes Troy really scary this year. And after seeing what they did to UTA, I mean, they put up how many points against UTA? 85? 86?
Yeah.
85, yeah. 86, something 85, like that?
85, yeah.
UTA, they don't let people score more than 60. I mean, we've talked about that at least 3 or 4 times on the show about how UTA's thing is they aren't going to let you score 60 points, and they're going to score 61 or 62, and they're going to win the ball game. Troy scores 85 on them. I mean, that's scary that they put up 85 on them. And, I mean, they jumped on them early. So
17 points.
Yeah.
They were literally up 16-8 at the end of the first.
Yeah.
And at one point they were down 8-5.
Yeah.
So we're
basically on kind of the downhill, maybe. We're getting close to the peak of the conference season. And about to hit the back half of the season. Troy's got a big game, big rivalry game against South Alabama
Saturday.
This week. Yep. Terry Fowler, great coach. We obviously had him on last year. We know about South's run. South is one of those little tricky teams right there in the middle. I mean, what are they, 10-10?
Yep.
So they're
but they're in play. They're only 5-3. They're only two games out of the first place in the conference.
Yeah. And they have the players that know how to win a conference championship.
I'm glad you brought them up because I was just thinking this, looking at the schedule for Coastal Carolina. Mm-hmm. They remind me a lot of that South Alabama team from last year because South started off non-con, 14-0.
Uh-huh.
It's Coastal Carolina, 13-1, uh-huh. But, well, maybe 13-2. But the point is, yes, the non-con. I was pointing at it and saying there's nobody on there.
Yeah.
But
it ain't UTA's non-con, I can tell you that.
No.
Because UTA played, I'm still convinced, the hardest non-con schedule ever.
But my favorite thing to say, what I like to say, doesn't matter who you play. If you're winning your entire schedule, that's impressive.
It counts. It counts.
South Alabama went 14-0 last year to start it off and ended up in the tournament championship. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Coastal made a deep run at the end of the year.
I can see that.
So
I mean, the way their stats line up, I mean, it does, you know, them and Troy, and then the fact that they have the second best scoring offense in the league and the best team defense in the league, that adds up to wins. That's as simple as that. It's just like football. You know, if you got a good scoring defense, you got a good scoring offense, there you go. So that's it for women's basketball. Let's get over to the other side of the court for men's basketball. And it's a little bit different. Standings, we don't have so much of the, I guess, parity at the top. There's four teams, Georgia State, Ark State, and Georgia Southern, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9-2, 7-3, 7-4, 6-4 right now. Little Rock coming at 9-2. One of their losses to Troy. We've talked about Scott Cross. He's going to be a great thing for Troy. That's literally what he is. But I will tell you, the stats aren't great for Troy when it comes to that. And I'll get a little bit into that here in a second. So right now, scoring leaders in the conference, Nigel Pearson out of Texas State, the only guy who's averaging 20 points a game in the entire conference. Justin Forrest out of App State, who averages 18.6, and Marquise Noel, who out of Little Rock, 17.4 points a game. So there's your three. So Texas yep. State, where are they at? 5-5.
Texas State and App State are both 5-5. They're in the middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Little Rock obviously having the number three score is not surprising, but it's a bit surprising that the top two are from Texas State and App mm-hmm. State. But mm-hmm. that's pretty clear that they're kind of circling the wagons around one guy.
Yeah. The scary thing about Little Rock, I didn't write it down, but I did see the stat. They also have the leading rebounder in the conference as well.
That'll do it.
I can't pronounce his name. It's Wrote Ming Hong.
Don't try it.
Yeah, it's
don't
bad. Try it. It's really bad. They also have the leading rebounder.
If you have the leading rebounder and the number three shooter in the conference, that's a pretty obvious fast break solution there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So team scoring, we've got three teams that are averaging 76 points or more. Georgia State comes in at 79.2, Coastal 77.9, Georgia Southern at 76 points flat. On the team defense side, Texas.
Hold up. We're going to go back real quick. Yep. Coastal Carolina is ranked what now?
They have the second best scoring offense.
Coastal Carolina has the second best scoring offense.
77.9.
And they are the number nine team in the conference.
Yeah.
Come on, Coastal. What are you doing? Do you just not have a defense? Are y'all doing that no rebound thing? Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll get to that. Let's go.
So, let's see here.
I just keep biting the bullet and ruining your thread, don't I?
No, you're doing great. You're doing great. Team defense, best defenses in the conference. Texas State giving up 64. That makes sense.
Number five in the conference, yeah.
Little Rock, 66.
I would hope
number
so.
Number two. And App State, 66.5. So those are the two ones that I kept coming back to and was like, okay, they've got leading scorers and they've got really good defense. How in the heck are they sitting at basically 500? Those teams, right?
App State is at 500 yeah. for sure. Texas State's 12-9. They're a little bit better than 500. But yeah, they're both sitting there at 500.
Yeah.
Now it's
a little mind-boggling.
Before we answer that question,
okay,
let's take a moment to appreciate what's going on at App State. because this is sort of the thing that Troy was hoping to get when they got Scott Cross. Mm-hmm. App State's the number five team in the conference right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are a game above 500.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they didn't win a single game.
In conference?
No. They may have won one against Troy.
You sure? I'd check on that.
App State was one of the two teams that lost their coach last year.
Really?
Yeah.
But they didn't win a game?
I don't think they won a game. And they might have won one.
I'd check that.
Let's do it.
Let's check that.
Okay. They were
6-12. I don't think they were that bad last year. They were, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe their women's team was that bad.
Here, they already have as many wins right now in the season as they did this point last year.
There you go. Okay, there you go. That's what we'll focus on. So this was the interesting part was Troy. I'm looking at a lot of Troy stats here, and there's a lot of people that are happy on Troy. Preseason-wise, everybody picked Troy to finish dead last. Where's Troy sitting at right now?
Almost dead last.
So 4-7. They're a couple games ahead of dead last. They've beaten three number one teams.
Wait. Yeah, it's the same spot.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry, y'all. But Troy has knocked off Georgia State when they were number one. They knocked off Georgia Southern when they were number one. And they knocked off Little Rock when they were number one. They have three wins over conference-ranked number one teams at one point. But then you go and you look at their stats, and they're just not there. I mean, they're averaging... They're not even averaging 70 points a game, or 69 a game. They're averaging giving up 71 points a game, so that's never a good sign.
That math don't add up.
No, it does not add. They're -2 in scoring margin. Their free throw percentage, 68%, really bad. Field goal percentage, the three worst field goal percentages in the conference. This is what I wanted to get.
Hit me.
Troy is shooting 40% from the field. Louisiana, 40% as well. And UTA, 41%.
Wait, what? Oh, okay. UTA's middle of the pack.
So, UTA, middle of the pack. Troy, Louisiana, makes sense. You don't shoot well, you're not going to win games.
That's about it.
Then rebounds, you go Coastal. Where are they at? 4-6?
Yeah.
Georgia State?
Number two.
This is rebounds. Coastal averages 41. Georgia State, 37. And then Troy. Number three in rebounds, averaging 37 a game.
Now,
so
now, given what we talked about Coastal Carolina,
mm-hmm.
stat-wise, I've expected that. Mm-hmm. Their record doesn't show it. We'll get to that. But yeah, Troy, number three in rebounds in the conference. But they're number 10 in the conference in record.
Yeah. They just, in about every statistical category, with the exception of that one, they are pretty much bottom six or worse. Like six or worse in the conference. Maybe even actually seven or worse. It's a rebuild year. But for some reason, that's what makes the Sun Belt really weird, is that somehow that team that sits in the bottom of all these statistical categories has a win over Little Rock.
And Georgia State.
Like it, and so that's just the craziness about it.
I love that.
Yeah, and so that I'm looking at four teams over 500. This is all conference play. Three teams at 500 and five teams under 500, all in conference play.
So what's the deal with Coastal?
Coastal's just a strange team. Coastal played not a really tough non-conference. I mean, that's the thing. Coastal has a win over Utah. We highlighted that. A 20-point win over Utah. So... I mean, they had a
beat
tough stretch.
Tennessee.
Yeah, that's a decent win.
That's a decent win.
So,
but they lost to Troy.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern, Texas State, I expected. Little Rock, I expected. Arkansas State. They're on a three-game losing streak.
Yes.
That's a big part of it right there, honestly.
So there's a lot. It's not as much parity, I think, as it was in women's basketball when you have three teams that are all 6-2. I think Little Rock is the team right now. Because they're dominant inside. They're 15-7 overall. Same with Ark State is 15-7. Ark State was kind of a puzzling team as well when I was looking at some stats here. They don't shoot the ball very well from three. They're not very good at defending the ball either. And they have a pretty good amount of turnovers. And so that was kind of an interesting that they're sitting at 15-7 and their statistical categories are kind of just as off as what Troy is. So very interesting for basketball. But we're about halfway through of the season. And
over halfway through.
Yeah, over about halfway through. So a lot left to happen here. It's February. This is where you get remembered. You know, like football, November is where you get remembered. February is about the same thing. So
when we talked about it, I remember this being a thing last year. We you catch fire now, you win the month of February.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a really good spot in March. So
yeah, I mean, I'm just quickly, I'm looking at Arkansas State. They're sitting at 15-7 right now, and they're seventh in scoring in the conference of scoring offense, and they're seventh in scoring defense. They score 70.8 points a game, and they give up 70 points a game, and they're 15-7. They have a scoring margin of plus 0.8. And they're 15-7 when Troy has a scoring margin of minus 2, and they're not 15-7.
No.
They're what, like 6-11 or something like that?
Yeah.
And so, you know what that tells me? Arkansas State, you're winning the close games. And you know what else that tells me? Arkansas State fans probably lost a lot of hair this year because of all the close games that their team has been involved in. So, but if you just go down the line, they're not good. They don't lead in anything. I mean, literally, I'm scrolling down. They're dead last in field goal percentage defense. They're giving up 45% shooting for teams that play them. Like, I mean, they're just the top three. Okay, they shoot the three ball kind of well. Other than that, there's just nothing. I mean, the rebounding defense, they're top five.
Well, here's the way things roll. We got a whole month left to figure out who the actual pretenders and the actual contenders are.
You're going to have to do it quick.
Oh, we will. But
that's something about men's and women's basketball. We took a deep dive into some stats tonight. Who's your pick if you got? We're at the end of January.
I mean, I like Little Rock. Little Rock is just a dominant program, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. They've been coming up short for so long between UTA and Georgia State.
Mm-hmm.
But now that there's been turnover there, I think this is the year that Little Rock takes advantage of that and pushes through. On the men's side, on the women's side, yeah, there's a ton of parity, but Troy showed on Saturday the very reason why they're going to win game by game by game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they continue to do that, I don't think there's a team in this conference that's going to stop them.
No, I kind of agree with on that on both sides as well. I think Little Rock is a team to beat. I think that they've got a really good inside game, and I think Troy's the same way.
That's the cue. That's the whole purpose there.
I think they
can
win the
inside. You win the paint.
Yeah.
I think you can do that.
Yeah. I think you can do that. So
while we're at it, talking about in the paint, Troy beat UTA in women's. They scored 30 points in the paint to UTA's 22. They had a plus 8 point percentage margin in the paint.
There you go. So yeah, that's that is your weekly recap of.
That's a lot of basketball.
Dude, it's basketball season.
You're right.
We got to dive in.
But. There's still some football to be played.
What?
2-minute warning.
That's right. It's our 2-minute warning. And
because we spent way too much time on basketball.
We did.
We're giving a warning to ourselves.
We are. We got to get back to the thing that matters. The thing that matters more than anything else. And that is football. So.
He said it, not me.
Oh, well, yeah, I said it. Fight me. At me. We already talked about social media. Let's go. I'm a keyboard warrior. I'll take you down.
What is it? Like trigger fingers and the Twitter fingers or something?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know where you're going with that, but...
Trigger fingers into Twitter fingers?
You know, I respect it.
I think it's a Drake thing. Remember that episode we talked about Drake things all the time?
Oh, okay.
Twitter fingers, trigger
Well, that's
fingers?
A deep cut, and I something. Do respect that.
Okay, all right.
I do respect the Drake jokes.
Back to the game.
Yes, back to the game, which is football, and the XFL is right around the corner. Those games start soon. We got another spring, winter/whatever football league.
We do.
Starting up. The XFL is finally getting underway.
Round two.
And you know what? I dug up all the Sun Belt players, including some that aren't even in the Sun Belt anymore.
Okay.
So, XFL...
I didn't even count
how many players we had. We have about 11 Sun Belt players on the rosters right now.
Not bad.
In the XFL.
8 teams in the XFL.
Yes, and we have a player on all but one.
All but one.
All of them but one.
Which city didn't want a Sun Belt team?
One, you didn't two, list three, that team. 4, 5, 6, 7, Dallas, Washington, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, St. Louis, Seattle.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa. Tampa Vipers. Tampa Vipers did not want to dip into the Sun Belt.
You think you would have known.
Like, of all places. Jeez. Of all places.
Well, we don't have a Sun Belt team in Florida. So
not anymore.
I guess.
Maybe there were a ton of Florida, Florida International, Florida Atlantic players.
Former.
Former, right. But, so we have a ton of players. You know, the team with the most is Houston. The Houston Roughnecks. So if you're a fan of Sun Belt football, go be a fan of the Houston Roughnecks because they have a wide receiver from Louisiana by the name of Raheem Malone. You know that name ring a bell? It might to some Cajun fans. Arkansas State safety Cody Brown. Mm. That name rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
And Coastal Carolina had a running back by the name of D'Angelo Henderson.
Ooh.
There you go.
I know all of the Coastal Carolina fans will be watching D'Angelo.
That's right. So if you're a Coastal Carolina fan, Arkansas State fan, or Louisiana Cajuns fan, you have an XFL team in the Houston Roughnecks because those are literally the only three players from those teams in the XFL right there.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
They also have an Idaho punter by the name of Austin Recco. Does that name ring a bell?
Nope. Didn't follow the Idaho punter.
Cool. It's cool. If you are a Vandal fan and you somehow stumbled across this podcast, this one's for you and the Kibbe Dome.
And the potatoes.
Right? So let's play a game that I know you're going to lose because I thought you were going to win it, but you didn't.
Oh.
When we were off the air, you gave me an answer for the team that you think is going to have the most players from the Sun Belt, have the most players in the XFL.
I did.
What'd you say?
Well, I said App State.
Yes, but that's not correct because App State doesn't have a single player on a roster in the XFL.
Wow.
Are you surprised?
I am shocked.
I'm a little surprised too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I got to sit down for that.
You were already sitting down.
There you go.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, now that I'm covering up the list and you've had this whole time to look at it since I really wrote it down.
I like trivia.
What team do you think?
Well, I saw Troy posted their thing.
Yeah.
That Troy said they had four.
Mm-hmm. How many players did I say we had total from the XFL?
11.
Yeah.
So Troy would have, and we already named three teams of three, so that would be seven of 11. I'm going to go with Troy.
Very good. Very good. You're not.
The art of, it's, what is it? The science of deduction? Or
that's exactly what it is. Because Troy has four players in the XFL. Quarterback Brandon Silvers, friend of the show.
Yep.
And AFL.
Might be a future guest of the show.
Hey, you never know.
I'm just saying.
Stranger things have happened.
I'm just saying.
Former Alliance Memphis Express hero,
yep,
Brandon Silvers, is now the starting quarterback for the Seattle Dragons. So good for him on finding his feet somewhere.
Go from Troy to Memphis to Seattle. Hey, that's an upgrade.
Garner Minshew did it. So
you got to go to the beach, though.
Yeah. But it is what it is. Brandon will come home and go to the beach.
He will.
So, Troy also has linebacker Jonathan Massaqua.
Yep.
Former NFL and played for the Birmingham Iron. So, it's another NFL, AAF, XFL player. Two Troy players on the Los Angeles Wildcats. Running back DeJuan Harris, another former NFL player.
Played for the Green Bay Packers.
Yep. And the 49ers.
And the 49ers.
Who are in the Super Bowl.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we're going to keep these links going. Defensive tackle Trayvon Sanders.
Trayvon!
Who was also in the NFL at some point.
So,
they're both on the Los Angeles Wildcats, and those are the four Troy players.
So, it's Brandon.
Brandon, Jonathan Massaqua, DeJuan Harris, and Trayvon Sanders.
So, two Neil Brown players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Trayvon and Neil
Trayvon
Brown
Sanders played for Neil.
Then there you go. Yeah.
So I remember we gave Neil a bunch of hell for not getting draft picks. Well, he got one
draft pick and two XFL players. Mm-hmm. So he did something right.
It's not bad.
All right, let's go. Who do you think is the number two team in the conference?
I'm going to say Georgia Southern.
Nope. They have one player, but they are not the number two team.
Louisiana?
We just said they only have one.
Oh, they only have one. Goodness, I'm dumb.
So I'll give you that one back.
Coastal only has one.
Yes.
And App State only has one.
Arc State only has one.
App State has zero.
Correct.
Texas State?
They have one, but they do not have two. yes. Oh, I miscounted. There are 12 players.
Oh.
I can't. Texas
Ladies
State
and gentlemen,
has
this has
one.
Been a well-documented problem.
Right? We did our homework and research thoroughly.
Yeah.
Literally.
We're just not good with numbers.
No, but Texas State has one, but they do not have, they're not the number two team.
South?
They have one player, but they're not the number two team. So
who else is there? Oh, you want Monroe?
Yes.
Holy hell.
Josh, guard Josh Allen plays for the Dallas Renegades, uh-huh. and cornerback Trey Caldwell plays for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
The Battlehawks.
That's right. The coolest helmet since the Orlando Apollos, in my opinion.
There you go.
No, but some other major names. We talked about D'Angelo, Brandon Silvers, Trayvon Sanders. A New Mexico State running back is on the Los Angeles Wildcats.
I know who it is.
You do know who it is.
Yep.
Who is it?
LR3.
That's right. Larry Rose III is the running back for the Los Angeles Wildcats. A tight end from Texas State is in New York. Really? You know his name? Keenan Brown.
Oh, really?
You do know his
name.
Yeah,
he was
name.
A really big time draft player.
He was. He was. He just never made it
into
the NFL.
Out in the NFL, huh?
Turns out he made it into the XFL so far. Mm-hmm. Linebacker Antoine Williams will be sharing town with Jonathan Massaqua in Washington. He's from Georgia Southern. You Eagles fans probably recognize that one.
Okay.
Let's see. Who else am I missing? Nobody? Okay, here's the last one.
Okay.
South Alabama tight end Wes Saxton.
Saxton, yeah.
Is
yeah.
on the St. Louis Battlehawks. Yeah. Another guy who bounced around the NFL. Yep. The Louisiana guys, we already talked about that in Houston. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's your 12 XFL players in the Sun Belt. We went through them.
For me, I'm going to I have to go with the Dallas Renegades.
Yeah?
Because they, I think, have the best coaching staff out of any of the teams.
I didn't pay attention to any of the coaching staff.
I know you didn't probably pay attention to that. Bob Stoops is their head coach.
Well, that's all you needed to tell me.
And Hal Mumm is their offensive coordinator.
Okay, so that's like two decks stacked in their favor there.
Yeah. That's you know who Hal Mumm is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a defensive guy, right?
No, Hal Mumm is the mentor to about 12 different college, Division I college coaches. At
oh,
this
I believe it.
Couple of them, Neil Brown.
I knew you were going to go there.
Another one?
Seth Luttrell.
Seth Luttrell.
Yeah.
Another one?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Mike Leach.
Mike Leach. There it is.
He is the mentor to Mike Leach, and Mike Leach probably has one of the greatest coaching trees in college football. Go look at it.
I can't think of a better one, so I'll go with it.
Go look at it. It's incredible. Hayden Fry, also, this is because I'm an Iowa guy. He has He has a pretty incredible coaching tree as well. But no, Hal Mumm and Bob Stoops, both the head coaches on that. I would love to see Steve Spurrier give the XFL a shot. I know he was in the AAF. I would love to see him jump into the XFL.
And he'd be perfect for it, too, because it's a very loudmouth league.
It really is.
And that's right up his alley.
I think we need to give it more justice. I don't know if we have to do it in tonight's episode, but the rules of this league
are
totally revamping everything.
I know. I saw the video. So what we're going to have to do, let's put a pin in that, and let's come back to that next week, because I absolutely love that idea.
Yeah.
We're going to tease ahead to next week and do that next week.
If you think the XFL is going to be your like your old daddy's NFL, it's just the same, this is a totally different... I mean, we saw the AAF do a little bit. The XFL has taken their foot and busted it right through the door and said, we're going to do whatever we want.
If the AAF was the redheaded stepchild, the XFL is your son's best friend that just hangs out and you think he lives there now.
Yeah, and he has all the better ideas.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible. I mean, it's going to be so interesting. And the biggest thing is they start their season the day after the Super Bowl. And they don't have deals with CBS Sports, which nobody ever gets. They're going to be on Fox. They are a national. They have a deal with Fox.
Don't have a deal with ABC?
Yeah, they have ABC and Fox. I mean, this is primetime network television. Not like, we'll throw one on CBS Sports for you. No, this is deals right here.
Well, and this is. We'll have to talk more about the XFL because I think it might just deserve its own episode. Honestly, we can go do that. That's fine with me.
It's going to be but really fun to watch.
Who's behind the XFL?
Well, he walks weird. He walks like he has something up his butt.
And every time he sees somebody, he looks like a cat. Like,
yes, he does look like a cat. You kind of remind me of the meme right there.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. No, Vince McMahon, who also runs the WWE.
Yeah, just a guy, dude.
He's got a couple dollars in his pocket.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
I think funding for this league will be a little bit better.
Yep.
And with how well the WWE is going on right now. The money is all the money's coming in from that.
When you said Fox, that's what surprised me because I noticed, we'll talk about this later. We'll have to have an XFL episode. It might not be next week, but we'll talk about it more because there is funding, and I'm going to follow some of those terms because the WWE is on primetime on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And you said Fox.
Oh, yeah.
So there's got to be a deal there, and I'm going to break it down. I'm going to break it down.
Yeah. So, that's what we got for the XFL. We have the Super Bowl coming up this week. We obviously previewed a little bit of that last week with the Sun Belt players that are playing the Super Bowl, the road from Mobile to Miami, because San Francisco is the coaching staff from the Senior Bowl.
That's right.
Senior Bowl.
If you haven't listened to that episode, it's real short, shorter than this one even. Yep. Just go on to click on to the next episode.
And it's football. So, quick update. Kendall Vindor had an unbelievable week.
He did.
Finished the game with an interception in the Senior Bowl. Great game for him. And Georgia Southern just had an incredible day because Tyler Bass hit two field goals while Rodrigo Blankenship, who played for who? Georgia. Missed one of two field goals.
Ooh.
Tyler Bass went 2 for 2. Out of the state of Georgia, good for you, Georgia Southern. You beat Georgia. There you go.
It's kind of like he actually played there or something. You might know the stadium a little bit better.
He might.
You know.
He might.
It's not like he beat the Jaguars in that stadium by field goal. He did.
In that playoff?
He did.
Oh, yeah. This was nothing.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Kendall Vindor and Tyler Bass. Both of them showed out really, really well. Akeem Davis Gaither, he showed out all through the week.
He did.
Still played a decent game.
But that's what matters.
But he showed out during the week. I will be shocked if Akeem Davis Gaither is still available in the fourth round.
Really?
I will be shocked. That's how well
that's big.
He played. His numbers were off the charts. The coaches raved about him all week long. His one side of the field to the other side of the field coverage abilities are incredible.
I mean, he's a pivotal role in this App State defense the past 4 years.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know if it does that though, because there's still the combine to go, and Sun Belt players don't really have that.
He'll get an NFL combine bite.
Well, for sure.
For sure.
For sure. But we'll have to play along, see what happens, because there are plenty of players in the Hula Bowl and the East-West Shrine Bowl from Sun Belt schools, too.
Yes.
Notice we had a Louisiana and an App State guy playing next to each other on the offensive line there. So we'll follow that. We'll have that later down the line. We'll have XFL rules next week. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. What?
We ain't done yet.
We ain't done yet.
Cut it.
Final word.
Abbreviated final word.
You just segued me in the middle of my thought. I've never had that. That feels weird.
Look, okay, we just had to chop it.
You're right.
We had to chop it. Okay. So final word.
We did plan to do this, so my bad. I kind of jumped the gun on that. Whatever.
It's 10 o'clock. We've been recording a lot. Okay, so final word. Softball. We haven't started officially yet.
No.
We're getting really close to it. But the preseason, Sun Belt came out with the preseason poll and the coaches poll and the team. And guess what? Guess who's number one?
Louisiana.
There you go. They got 10 first place votes. 100 points. Literally everyone voted for him, which you don't see a whole lot of. I mean, respect.
Do we only have 10 softball teams?
Yeah, we only have 10.
Oh, I thought we had 12.
Mm-mm. Respect? Yeah, respect. Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody coach. Yeah. Well, they are the number 8 team in the country right now, preseason polled. It sure showed on the Sun Belt team. Basically, the better question for who made the Sun Belt preseason team was which player off of Louisiana didn't make the team. You would have had more luck guessing the ones who didn't make the team than the ones who did make the team, because they had eight players make the preseason All Sun Belt team. Two pitchers, a catcher, second baseman, and the entire outfield.
I was about to say, there's got to be one.
Literally.
One.
Well, they had, I guess, the defensive player or designated player as well. Preseason player of the year, Alyssa Dalton. The senior shortstop from Cypress, Texas, and the pitcher of the year, the girl that we were raving about all last year.
I was about to say.
Freaking Summer Ellison. Sorry, I put a freaking in there. But Lord, I mean, pitcher of the year, player of the year, she's going to get a lot.
We raved about her last year. She was fantastic last year.
39 wins, 354 strikeouts, third most in program history. One of the best seasons in school history. She ranked top 10 nationally in all major pitching categories and carried a sub-2 ERA. That was the thing that we were most impressed about the entire season, was that she kept her ERA under a 2. She was a 2019 National Fast Pitch Coaches Association All-America pick. She claimed 20 of the 25 wins in the Raging Cajuns' undefeated conference run. That's right. They went undefeated in conference, becoming the first individual in league history to amass 20 conference wins in a single season. He's the 10-time Sun Belt Pitcher of the Week, has already amassed a stellar career of, that has already includes 63 wins, a 1.30 ERA, 574 strikeouts, 95 earned runs. Only 90 in 510 innings. She's given up 95 runs.
That's one. That's less. That is less than one per five inning.
Yeah.
That is 1 point. That's fewer than two a game. She has a career ERA of under two.
Her opponent batting average is a .166. Any batting average that starts with a one is not good. well, for good the night. Batter, not yeah, for the pitcher.
Like,
they're just incredible year. She's going to be back at it. She's going to carry that team. We talked about it last week. Pencil them in for 50 wins. They're going to win 50 games. That's the other thing, is they have her, and then they also have Megan Kleist, who's also a senior, who's going to be their number two pitcher. They go 1-2, and that's what makes them so dangerous, is that they have a 1 and a 2 that are just both ones. That's basically what they are. And they have an incredible hitting staff. So
I would not be surprised to see that. Where is it in Omaha? Is the women's in Omaha, or is it somewhere else?
No, it's in Oklahoma City.
That's right. Men's it would not surprise me to see Louisiana and Oklahoma City.
Oh, no, not a doubt. So that's our quick little Sun Belt update. Louisiana, team to pick, team to beat.
The final word is Louisiana is going to wreck at softball.
Yeah, I know some Trojan fans were a little ticked that Lena Johnson wasn't on there. She had a stellar year last year as well. So we'll see what happens. Hey, live up to it. Talk it. Don't talk the talk, walk the walk, type deal. So we'll see what happens. Troy picked to finish second in the league, by the way. I think UTA was third as well.
It wouldn't surprise me if Troy got an at large.
I think they will. I think last year they missed it by just a little bit, but they got invited to another thing.
Right.
But I think we get two this year. Louisiana, definite. They're going to be a national seed pick. So that is the final word. Now,
okay. Now I can say it. Okay. Follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. We're also on Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg, yada, yada, yada. We are also on Shoutcast. We're on a bunch of places where we're ever podcasts are found. Next week, come on back for the XFL rules because we are going to go over those. Those are really interesting, and I hope you're excited. I hope you will be excited about them as I will. I'm so excited. I can't even say words correctly. Softball. XFL, Larry Rose. All right, I'm good. I got it out of my system.
Kobe!